Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today's the feast of Saint Apollinaris, and I know that you know exactly who he is. He's one of the great saints, but he's not as well known as some of the others. And just wanted to share something with you. He was said to have been a disciple of Saint Peter. And Apollinaris made bold to preach the gospel to the natives of the ancient Roman stronghold of Ravenna in the late 1st century. Incensed by the many healings that were brought about by his prayers, the pagan priests instigated repeated oppression. Brothers and sisters, isn't it true that often when God acts, Satan doesn't like that, and he kicks up as much dust as he possibly can, getting those of us who are kind of wishy-washy to take sides. He makes life difficult for that person who's trying to follow the Lord. But Apollinaris was one of those who absolutely, utterly persevered. No matter what happened. So the pagan priests instigated repeated oppressions. Tradition holds that Apollinaris was of advanced age when he received the martyr's crown. You know, I think I go back to the lives of these saints and I think, what would I have done had I been living in that time and actually seen so many of these martyrs? They're going on today as well. They're just not as visible. Interesting when we have access to so much to see in so many parts of the world, but we don't have the spiritual eyes necessarily or the spiritual ears to see here and to see what God is doing in the midst of the difficulties in the world today. How is God acting? The holy are becoming holier. Where are we? How much are we turning to God in the circumstances of our lives? How much are we asking God to help us to live a righteous life and to follow him and to be faithful to him so that our children and grandchildren will have models to follow? Direct your faithful, Lord, in the way of eternal salvation, which the bishop Saint Apollinaris showed by his teaching and his martyrdom. And grant that through his intercession, we may so persevere in keeping your commandments as to merit being crowned with him. The life to come is very, very real. And just because our senses, we can't see it, can't touch it, we can't taste it, we can't smell it, but it's real. And we're so used to taking in truth of what our eyes and our minds and, you know, our human faculties tell us. And oftentimes we get that wrong because somebody dupes us. Somebody fools us. But God will never fool us. He calls us to himself. Are you really a follower of Christ? Could you be more a follower of Christ, right in your own circumstances? Let's take a look at the first reading, Book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 13 to 20. Moses, hearing the voice of the Lord from the burning bush, said to him, "When I go to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' if they ask me, 'Well, what is his name?' what am I to tell them?" And God replied, "I am who am." And then he added, "This is what you shall tell the children of Israel. I am sent me to you," the fullness of being, the fullness of life. I am. It's not that I have this. It's not that I have that quality and I have this gift, etc. I am. I am means I am the fullness of life, of truth. I'm the fullness of human existence. I'm way beyond that, but that certainly. And God spoke further to Moses. Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, this my title for all generations. Go and assemble the elders of Israel and tell them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me and said, I am concerned about you and about the way you are being treated in Egypt. Look at the tenderness of God. Go and tell my people that I am concerned about you and about the way you are being treated in Egypt. So I've decided to lead you up out of the misery of Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. Thus they will heed your message. Then you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent us word. Permit us then to go a 3 days' journey in the desert that we may offer sacrifice to the Lord our God. Yet I know that the king of Egypt will not allow you to go unless he is forced. I will stretch out my hand, therefore, and smite Egypt by doing all kinds of wondrous deeds there. After that, he will send you away. Read the following chapters. Read them in detail. Look what came upon the whole people, so that finally Pharaoh would let them go. Psalm 105 tells us the Lord remembers his covenant forever. There is not a moment, not a moment in the history of human existence that God did not know every detail of every life that was created. And he knows you. Because we can't see him, because through our senses we don't experience him, it's so easy to push him aside and to pay nominal assent to his presence. What God wants is your full and undivided attention. And when he has it with you, then he can lead you and bless you and work through you for all the people that you deal with day in and day out. It's true, brothers and sisters. Thus they will heed your message. Then you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent us word. Permit us then to go a 3 days' journey to the desert, that we may offer sacrifice to the Lord our God. For I know, yet I know, that the king of Egypt will not allow you to go unless he is forced. I will stretch out my hand, therefore, and smite Egypt by doing all kinds of wondrous deeds there. After that, he will send you away. All the plagues that came, all the death that came. Do you know in your own life that God knows, as I've said many times, God knows every detail? Start relating to him with that realization. Speak to him in the morning. Offer your day to him. Every time you move to a new project in the course of your day, whether that be at work, whether it be at home taking care of the children, whatever your job, wherever you are, each segment of your day, begin to get in a habit of turning and saying, Lord, thank you for helping me with this, and now I need to move on with this. Whether it's taking the children to the playground, or whether it's trying to strike some major deal in business, it doesn't matter what it is. It matters how and why you do it. We can have secular work, but if we do it that God might be seen and known and loved, it transforms what simply looks like a simple earthly work into an offering to God. I give you, Lord, my day. I give you the work. I give you the relationships of my day. I give you everything. That's what God wants. That's how he wants to work in us, how he wants to work through us. And then we come to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." Oh, I'm so tired today. I'm so weary. "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me." In other words, we put a yoke on, say, oxen. We put a yoke on them so that we can direct their path. And Jesus is saying to us, "Put my yoke on so I can lead you in the way that brings you blessing. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light." Why? Because God is with us in it. And we're not alone. It's when we go off and say, "Oh, I want to do what I want to do." We can all get into that difficulty a lot. We value our independence. Well, the kingdom of heaven doesn't necessarily, of course, there are human ways where we learn how to be independent from our parents. It's a part of maturity. But an even greater sign to me of maturity is when using all your gifts, nevertheless, to give them over to the Lord, free will, give them over to the Lord and say, "Lord, use the gifts you've given me for your glory and for the salvation of others. I am your servant. I am your son. I'm your daughter." That's the right posture. It's not a kind of passivity that says, "Oh, well, okay, I give everything to God. Whatever God wants to do, he can do." That's not it. He wants to engage you. He wants to build a relationship with you, strengthen it so that it contributes to the Father's glory. There is a whole world out there, brothers and sisters, a whole world of beauty and goodness out there for us. Father John Toller, who lived in the 1300s, said this: "In very truth, in proportion as a man goes out of himself, does he enter into oneness with God." That's what I'm talking about. "In very truth, in proportion as a man goes out of selfhood, does he enter into oneness with God." Think about that. Think about that. God, as you say, "Lord, may you increase and may I decrease." That was John the Baptist. It's a wonderful prayer. "Lord, may you increase and may I decrease." When you begin to pray that way, as I've said to you so often, God draws very near and he enters into a depth of relationship with you that you don't yet have. Or he will deepen it and strengthen it beyond, as some of the poets say, beyond your wildest dreams. Open your heart to God and know that he loves you and know that he desires to walk more closely with you. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.